There we go. Okay, so we've got Preston Bullock over here. So the first thing that I want to start with is Perichav Beis Pasichav Beis. So we know what happens, right? Bullock sends to Bilam. He wants to come to Mikal Klal Yisrael, and he says, "Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. You'll have to wait, see what Hashem will say." So then the second time when he sent the Sarim Gedolim Nechbadim, right? So the second time around, Hashem said to him, "Yeah, if you think that you're gonna get anything out of this, so fine, go ahead." Hashem was very angry. Right, the Malach appeared. Bilam didn't see him at first, and the whole thing with the donkey. So there's two Rashi's that are back to back, which the Chayra are what we call a stira min eubay. Right? Mamish like merabs and igra. Says Rashi on Pasachav Beis ki haylechu, Rosh ha-dover ra b'eini ha-mokum, he saw that this is evil in the eyes of Hashem, v'nis'av v'leilich, and he was filled with a tithe that will curse Klal Yisrael. So it sounds like from Rashi that it was mamish lehachis. He was overcome with a tithe that will be makal Klal Yisrael. Why? Because he saw that it's bad in the eyes of Hashem. Right after that, Rashi says, "L'satan loy," this malach was sent to be, you know, to block his way. Malach shel rachamim hayo. This was a malach of rachamim. V'hayo roitze l'manay milachtoi shel yechta v'yayvan. And Hashem wanted to prevent him from sinning so that he shouldn't be destroyed, so that he shouldn't lose everything. I mean, it's like at first glance, you look at this, and you're like, your jaw drops, like, huh? What happened over here? I mean, back to back, it's in the same pasuk. Rashi says, "Ki haylichu." Bilam was overcome with the taiva to do it because he saw that it was evil in the eyes of Hashem. And at the same time, Hashem is having rachmanis on him to try to prevent him from doing it.
It's not necessary that he saw that it was Rabbein Asher, and he saw it aleches.
No. So what do you want to say is pshat?
The pshat is that obviously he wouldn't do something against what Hashem wants, but he wanted to do it.
So how do you read the Pshat in Rashi? Rosh Adavar Ra Be'ini HaMakom. He doesn't say U'b'chol Zayis Nis'av HaLeilech. If Rashi would have said U'b'chol Zayis Nis'av HaLeilech, right? Yeah, or Ve'af Al Pichei Nis'av HaLeilech. You're trying to say that even though he knew that...
Why did he go? How could he go? Hashem doesn't want it.
No.
So that V'nis'av HaLeilech explains why he went.
So what is Rashi saying with Rosh Adavar Ra Be'ini HaMakom V'nis'av HaLeilech? No, you don't hear that he's just saying, okay, I'm not sure how you're learning it. How are you trying to learn this? Rashi says, Rosh Adavar Ra V'eini HaMakom V'nis'av HaLeilech. So it sounds to me like what he's saying is that because it was evil in the eyes of Hashem, that is what gave him such a taiva to go do it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered this to be such an evil thing. I mean, he was so evil. How else do you want to read it? Here, take a look. Here, Rosh Adavar Ra V'eini HaMakom V'nis'av HaLeilech. I mean, how else do you want to read it? I don't know how else you're going to read it. In any event, whatever the case may be, Bilam was clearly not a good guy. Okay? If you look at all the Rashis over the course of the whole parsha, he was the Shpitz, Nefesh Rechava, Ruach Gevoah, Ayin Ra. I mean, he had every single bad midah, right? He wanted to help destroy Klal Yisrael. This man is not a good man. Okay? He's not a good man. Right, there's even a medrash, I never saw it inside, but an official Shefner quotes it a lot. There's even a medrash that says that Bilam hu Lavan, right? And it says that by Lavan Bigesh Lakar Sakul. He wanted to destroy, right? It's just maybe another Gilgal. It needs a pshat. I think that Rashi's saying that it was Bifrat Bidafka because he saw that it was Rab Einei HaMakom. That's why he was Nisav HaLeilech. But even if you don't learn it like that, again, I don't know how else you would read it, but even if you don't learn it like that, it means a pshat. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu having Rachmanis on this person, on this individual? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin and a Medrash. I also found this on here, Medrash Rekanti on the Bar Ilan city. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says about Nebuchadnezzar, right? And the Medrash also, the Gemara and the Medrash together, says that there was a point in time where the I guess it was the king of Babel, before Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Babel, that he was writing a letter, he was sending a letter to Chizkiyahu, right, in Yerushalayim, And he wrote in the letter, Shalom to Chizkiyahu, Shalom to Yerushalayim, Shalom to the great God of the Jews, right? And then like somehow Nebuchadnezzar, who was just a servant at that time, one of the ministers, whatever he was, he found out about it, or they showed him the letter, whatever it is, and he said, you write that he's a great God, that Hashem is the great God. So how could you put him last? You should flip it around. And you should first write, Shalom to the great God of the Jews, Shalom to Yerushalayim, Shalom to Chizkiyahu. Right? And it says that he ran for, and then they said, Karyon de Igrisa lehevi iu lehevi farvanka, the person who reads the letter, so let him be the messenger to send it. Meaning, okay, you're the one who's saying to do it, so fine, so you take care of it. So it says that he ran 4 steps to go take care of this, touch up lechvayd Hashem. And the Gemara says that Hashem sent Malach Gavriel to stop him in his tracks. Right? Why? Because the Medrash tells us, the Medrash fills us in where the Gemara leaves off. Maybe Rashi brings it, I didn't see the Rashi, I just saw the Gemara. That the Medrash says that it was in the schus of those 4 steps that Nebuchadnezzar took, right, the chvaydei shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the kavod of Shamayim, that he was zeichat Malchus and his descendants after him. Now, just to give you a sense of how evil Nebuchadnezzar was, okay, Nebuchadnezzar conquered like basically the whole world, and just an expression of his evil, besides the, like all the like millions of people that he killed, right, he would have a rotation of all the different kings of the nations that he conquered, whose day would be that he would be Ma'aneh Sem and Mishkav Zachar. The Gemara says this. He had a rotation. And the Gemara talks about Tzidkio, that when he got to Tzidkio, Amalek, right, that a nace happened, and his aver became 300 amos long, right, whether the Gemara means it literally, or whether the Gemara just means that it was, like, Kilu was Nisparsim Kloina, Kilu, everybody found out about it. Whatever it means. But this guy, the Gemara says that Kolzman that Nebuchadnezzar was alive, not a person would never laugh. Nobody would ever laugh. The degree of pachad, of terror, that existed in his time was just enormous. And then when he died, it was just like patzchu kala umay zrina. You know the Gemara I'm talking about?
No.
The funny thing is that if you read about communist Russia under Stalin, it's amazing the connection. It's like the same type of thing, the terror that reigned in communist Russia. They say that the joke was that in communist Russia, everybody was so afraid of like being considered anti-revolutionary, right? It was the revolution, the communist revolution was against the czars, right? So everybody was so, anybody who there was the slightest breath of anything that you could tag him as being an anti-revolutionary, which basically means a traitor, so they would be moister on him, right? They would inform on him and he would be sent to Siberia. And the joke was that people were so terrified that a guy would wake up and look at himself in the mirror and say, one of us is an informer. that was the matzim. Anyway, coming back, so what do we see from here? We see that even though Nebuchadnezzar was a Rosh Hashein Kamayu, Amish, a Rosh Hashein Kamayu, Becholzais, he did something L'chvayt Shemayim, he has to get his schar. He has to get his schar, he has a schus. The Yibar Shem Kibiyachol, it's like a Chazal tells, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapech Schar Kol Biryo. He did something in L'chvayt Shemayim, and that's why the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Malach Gavriel to stop him, because if he would have gone weiter, then his schus, this schus, would be so great, that Chalil V'chasa could have been terrible for Kal Yisrael. Even much more so than it was anyway, right? So what do we see from here? We see that if someone, even if they're mamish a Rasha Atzum, but if they have some schus, so then that schus has great power. So l'chayro, what the pshat is, I want to tie up maybe, is like this. When he first told the shluchim of Balak that he can't do it, how did he say it? He didn't just tell them, I can't be bothered with you people. He could have just, brushed them off and said, I'm too busy. I can't be bothered to come help you guys with the Jews. He didn't have to say it in the book. How did he say it? He said, let's see what Hashem says. And then Hashem tells him, the pasuk before that. If he'll give me his whole house full of silver and gold. Now, why is he talking like that? So Rashi tells us, that's how we know that he had a nefesh chavva. Why are you even talking like that? But b'cholzis, what does he say? That even if he would pay me all the money in the world, I cannot transgress to go against the word of God, my Lord, to do even small or big. And you see later also, that even though Rashi says that l'maisa Hashem forced him to admit to it, right? But Saif Kol Saif, Lemaisa Bilam said something that indicated Kvod Shemayim. So Rashi says it was Baal Karchai. But what does it mean, Baal Karchai? What it means is that, L'chayra, based on the pshat that I'm trying to say now, is not the pshat that Hashem took away his Bechira Chafshis at that moment and forced those words out of his mouth. Later in the parasha, when it came, to, I think, to the last bracha of Matayvu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanesecha Yisrael, so Rashi says that at that point, it taka sounded like Hashem just forced the words out of his mouth. Where was it? Maybe the one before that. There was a one point. Maybe one second. Yeah, he said Shuvel Balak v'Chayisadaber. So Rashi, it was the second time, I think. Yeah, it was the second bracha. So Rashi says over there. It says, "Vayosim davar b'fiv." Hashem put the word in his mouth, put the words in his mouth, and he said that. Bilam said to him, "Why should I go back to Balak just to upset him and to make him all upset?" So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol put a resin and a chaka in his mouth, right? Like you do with an animal, you put a muzzle, right, and some type of a bit in their mouth to be able to pull them, to force them. So over there, at that point, the taka sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mamish forcing the words out of his mouth. But the chara over here, it doesn't seem to shtim to say that the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally forced the words out of his mouth. So what does it mean, Baal Karcha? Baal Karcha means that he had no choice but to admit to the fact that in Achinami, he can't do it without the Rishos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But not the pshat that he couldn't have somehow come up with some other excuse. In other words, he wasn't able to say, yeah, I can do it no matter what. So L'maisa, what I'm trying to say is that Bilam had some schus of Kvayt Shemayim. It's some schus standing for him. And therefore, even though he was mamish a Rasha Merusha Gomur, that schus was enough to have his Eirus Min HaShemayim, that he should have at least some degree of Siyua, of Siyata Min Shemayah, of Siyata Nishmaya, to try to get him to do tshuva, to try to get him to stop. Right? Obviously, we see that it didn't work, that he used his Bechira Chafshis to continue. Oh, so now, the Gemara in Brachas, on Daf Zayin Chaval, that I didn't bring it in here. Actually, is there a Brachas over there? This is a whole Shas over here, Kimat. If there's a Brachas, it would be helpful. No Brachas? Oh well, okay, so we'll just have to do it by, Pachas, oh, there's a Chidush Yafalev on Brachas. Okay, Pachas is by memory, yeah? So, the Gemara in Brachas says that, what was Bilam's Kayach? The Gemara in Brachas says that Be'etzin, Bilam's Kayach was that there's one particular moment in the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses Kiviyachol Charoin Af. And the Gemara discusses why that is, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a moment, right, the Gemara brings the pasuk, Ki Rega Be'apoy, right, that there's one split moment where HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses a certain degree of Charoin Af, and Bilam knew exactly when that moment was. Bilam was the only person that ever knew exactly when that moment is, and he would say a klala precisely at that moment, and because that was a moment of Charoin Af in the world, it would be Chal. That was Bilam's Kayach. Now, the Gemara goes weiter, and the Gemara says that when is this moment? It's when a rooster, the something on the rooster's body when he stands on one leg in the morning, and something like goes, I guess maybe that red thing on top of him goes totally white. Like there's one moment where it goes totally white. Right? It's hard to figure out exactly what the Gemara is referring to. But the Gemara says that there was a certain stuki or someone like that that was always bothering. I think it was a Rishon ben Levi. He was always asking him kashas and psukim. You know how the masculine type people, they're always into, like, you know, trying to ask Bible critics, right? So he's always asking kashas and psukim because he's always trying to frag up Yiddishkeit, right? He's always trying to schlug up Yiddishkeit. So Rishon ben Levi was sick of him. He was tired of him. So he said, you know what? Forget it. He took a rooster. He put it right next to his bed, and he sat there. He said, "When the moment comes, when I see it, I'm gonna be mekalvin, right?" And he fell asleep right before that moment, and he woke up afterwards. And Rabbi Shobin, and the Gemara says that he said, "Oh, I see that it's not erech ara, it's not derech eretz, it's not the right thing to do for me to do such a thing." Now, the shaila is what exactly? I mean, first of all, Taisus often asks Akasha, right? The guy's an apikaris gomer. The Gemara says that my read in vain malin about such people. You can throw them into a pit and let them, and if they happen to be in a pit, leave them there. Meaning, you can do away with them. So Taisis as a whole shtickle that it means no, but Bidei Shemayim it's not Erech Aro, right? And so I think some of Farshim say because you're being Matriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol to take care of it for you. It's a little bit more pal what exactly was going on over there. Like, what's the problem? I mean, the guy is someone that beats him, no problem. Take care of him, right? Do what you need to do with him. Right? So what's going on? So at first glance, before we get into what exactly is the Erech Aro, you would say the Lachar Dipshad is that Bilam had enough of a schus. He had one nekuda taiva in him that it was enough that he should get that he should be zeicha to have at least some siyata dishmaya to try to prevent him from doing his avera, right? Whereas the Rishu ben Levi had such a tremendous schus, right, that he was withheld min hashamayim from doing something which is just einai hagun, just inappropriate. And the whole mashmos of the Gemara and of Taisis is that it's not usur. It would not have been usur for Rishu ben Levi to be mekal this guy. It just was lava yachara, inappropriate. So you see that if someone's schus is even greater, so then the siyata dishmaya that they get is even greater. There's a Gemara in Erev in Daf Yutes that says that the Poishe Yisroel, the sinners of Klal Yisroel, the fire of Gehenim will not overcome them. In other words, it won't destroy them, it won't eat them up. And how do we know that? The Gemara says, Kal Chaver from the Mizbeach Azov. Right? Mizbeach Azov, all these years, it had just like a the thickness of a dinar of gold on it. Right? And all the years that the fire would go on it for the Ketaris, the gold didn't get worn out. Right? And the Mashmos of the Gemara is that it was in the schos of that mitzvah. In the schos of that mitzvah, so that why the gold didn't get burned out by the fire. So the Gemara says that Peshe Yisrael, right, that are Malay and mitzvahs Karimon, they're filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. You've ever heard that before?
Yeah.
They're filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate, right? Because the Gemara brings a pasuk, Kefelach harimoin rakoseich. Right? Al tiki rakoseich el reikonin shebechol. That even the empty ones amongst you are filled with mitzvahs like a rimoin. But if you think about it, like even mamish people that are gur fry, Rahman al-Islam, right? A lot of times, you know, they'll say they'll say brachas, they'll say, you know, Bezrat Hashem, right? They'll say things like that, you know, or they'll give tzedakah, or they'll help someone. There's, if you would count up all these little mitzvahs that they have over the course of their lives, well, might say you would have a whole train load full of mitzvahs. A whole train load full of mitzvahs. So Achas Kama V'Kama says the Gemara that the fire of Gehenim will not be shalit on him. So then the Gemara brings a pasuk and says, yeah, but that they do go to Gehenim. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's just for the moment they have to be in Gehenim to get their oinish, but then Hashem sends Avraham Avinu to get them out. Right? And the Gemara says that there's a couple of exceptions, right? But I think Klali, this is the Mahalach, that even Paisha Yisrael do not, the fire of Gehenim doesn't destroy them. So now, this I think segues nicely into a Rashi towards the end of the parsha, right? Where Bilam says, I think it's in the second nevuah that he had about Klal Yisrael, in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So yeah, this was the second one. This was the second time that he gives them a bracha. So he says like this: Lahibit Oven BeYakov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not gaze upon the iniquity of Yaakov, but Leira Amol BeYisrael, and he does not look at the hard labor of Yisrael. Hashem Elokav Imai. God is Lord is with him, Usras Melchboy, and the friendliness, the kinship of the king is with him. Rashi says, in Chof Aleph, Lahibit Oven BeYakov, Ketargumai, Dabar Acher, Acher Pshuta, Nidrash Mejash No, Lahibit HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oven SheBeYakov. Hashem doesn't look at the iniquity of Yaakov. Shekshehin oven al dvarov. When they do averos, einon medaktik achareim lehizbayin ba'avnius shalohem ube'amolon shemer b'maldasoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not particular with them to look intensely into their avnius, into their iniquity-ness, right? Into their sinfulness. And the amolon sheimovim al dasai, amol, why is it amol? Because like, it's a tircha, like amol is motion like a work, it's like a tircha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't gaze and look and be mizbeinin into the avnius and the amol of the avero. Right? Hashem alukav imoi, Hashem his Lord is with him. Afilu machizin umam in the front of him, zazim itoichan. Even when their mamish making him angry and rebelling against him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stays with them. He does not leave them, he does not leave their midst. Usru as melech boy, loshen chiba v'reus. They have the chiba, the endearment, the friendship, the kinship, even when they're in this matziv of angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rebelling against him. So the shayla is, b'chol, what does this mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu just doesn't look at our averus? And if it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at our averus, then what does Rashi mean by the avniyut, right? He doesn't look at the avniyut and the amalon. What is Rashi getting at over here? What's this shprach trying to indicate to us, right? I mean, everybody knows Chazal tells us Kol Imer Kadosh Baruch Hu Vatan Yivasu Ma'ayi that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not overlook Averus. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just say, okay, no, forget it. You know, like, okay, there's a cheshbon to everything, right? Avada, if we do tshuva, so like the Ramchal says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is more than happy to be mekabel the little bit of tshuva that we do to take the place of the big Averu. But you can't just say that Stamazay Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention to the Averus. So what does it mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not misbinding in the avnius and the amolon when they're doing Averus? So l'char of the pshat is that the aver itself, the Kadosh Baruch Hu does pay attention to, and he deals with it. Oh, but he doesn't look at the avnius of the avera. He doesn't look at the amal of the avera. So the shayla is, what is that? What does that mean? There's like him of the avera, and then the avnius of the avera, the amal of the avera, right? And I think by understanding this, we'll understand how is it possible that we could say that even when Klal Yisrael are being machis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're angering him and they're rebelling against him, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, we have his chibo, we have his res, I mean, it's half of the gezachim. Like, if you would tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still okay, he's promised, like the Pesukim say in the parashas of the Teichacha, that Afgam Zayis v'yaysam v'eretz avim v'yma astim v'yga'atim v'chaloysam v'hafer v'yisi'itam, he won't destroy us legamrei, because L'maisa made a promise. But to tell me that he has a chibo and a reus for us, that we still have the chibo of the Ribbon Shalom and the reus of the Ribbon Shalom, even when we're in a matzav of being machis and mamin l'fonav, how does a child understand such a thing? So I'd like to explain this, hopefully I'll have time, based on this medrash that I found with the Bezchut the Bar Ilan Tzvi. On this, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says like this. Now, why do I know about this? I'll tell you the truth. As chatoya ani mazkir hayayim, I've never really learned Mishlei. I'm sorry, Shir Hashem. I've never really learned Shir Hashem. Really should, right? But I once heard a shmooz from Rav Chizkiya Mishkovsky on a tape that he quoted the following pasuk. It was a shmooz about chinuch. Rav Chizkiya Mishkovsky is a mashkiach in a yeshiva in Bnei Brak. What? Something like that. Anyway, so the pasuk says like this: Al tiruni shani shechar chayres. Don't look at me when I'm blackened, like with soot. Shezofasni hashemesh, that the sun has burned me. Bneimi nicherovi samunin ateres akram karmi shalil natarti, etc. So I just want to stop on this first half of the pasuk. That don't see me when I'm shechar chayres and when the sun has burned me. So there's a medrash that says like this, okay? With your permission, I'll read the medrash. Al tiruni shani shchar chayres. Oymeres knesses Yisrael l'umayis al oylem. The Yidden say to the goyim, Al tivazuni shani shchar chayres v'no avoynes. Don't try to be mevazim me. Don't try to put me down and denigrate me when I'm blackened by my averes. Uma bizayin nagu boy. What's this bizayin? So the medrash says like this. Shehem oimrim kvar shochach oyscha Hashem. Right, this is talking about the time when Klal Yisrael is already in Golos. And they say, Kodesh Baruch has forgotten about you. Hashem netoshcha, Hashem has spurned you. Bochar banu, now he's chosen us, right? That's what they call it, the New Testament, right? That's their title. That Hashem has forsaken the Yidden and now he's taken us. The Knesset Yisrael oimeres, milahem goyim. Who are you going? Mani shavarti al ktsos ha-mitzvahs. Okay, we're talking about the Zman of Golos. I only was over on some of the mitzvahs. Ktsos ha-mitzvahs. Golisim nishtabat lochem. And because of this, I went to Golos, and now I'm subservient to you. Atem shalikiyamtem achas min ha-mitzvahs. You don't do any mitzvahs of the Shevi mitzvahs b'nei noach. The kulam pesha v'chatol. You're totally one shtick of sin and iniquity. And Yahweh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, livkan aleichem, atkuma yesh bochem, and Kadosh Baruch Hu will come to give you what magia lechem. Hoi va'avoy for you. You will have nothing. There will be nothing left of you. Mashal Razal, listen to this mashal. L'matav adoyim. What's a mashal for this? L'shivcha kushi shiyotzes l'malis maimin amayin. You have a black maid slave that she went to go draw water. And she's telling her friends, tomorrow, meaning in the very soon, my master is going to divorce his wife and he's going to marry me. And they say, what makes you think that? Because I saw he got upset at her today because she came to sit to eat with him and her hands were all black with soot, like she had been cooking, dealing with the fire. So they said to her, you lowly one, right? Because he saw that her hands were blackened with soot, you think that he wants to divorce her. You're totally black and ugly, so all the more so he's not going to want to marry you. So that's the mashal for this vikuach, so to speak, between the yidden and the goyim. Davar acher, right? And then the Gemara brings the Medrash brings another. This is a Medrash. It's called Psikta Zutrasa, right? The Medrash brings Alternish Anish Charcheres, right? I'm going to skip this one. And then the Medrash brings that anybody who's Mekachik on Klal Yisrael always winds up getting punished. And the Medrash brings from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Yeshayahu Hanavi, from Eliyahu Hanavi, right? I'll just bring the last one of Eliyahu Hanavi. The Eliyahu said at one point he was talking to Hashem and he said, "Ki Azvu Briseich Bnei Yisrael, they have forsaken your covenant." Right, and they've destroyed your mizbachos. So basically, he says, Hashem says, "What you're saying, kategoria on my children? You're saying negative things about my children? Forget it. You can't be the navi anymore. Take your Talmud Elisha ben Shafat. He's going to be the navi from now on." The lashon of the Medrash is like this: "Kiviyachol i'efshar b'nevi uscha." It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "We can't have your nevuah. The way you are selling a vek, the way you are presenting your nevuah, forget it. We can't have this anymore. We can't have this." Oh, so now this is the final concept of what I want to get to. That the Medrash says, "V'chinu Omer and Zechariah kala negeya b'lehem k'negeya b'vavas einoy." Anybody who tries to touch Klal Yisrael, it's as if they're trying to attack the most precious part of the eye, kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? There's actually a maisa that someone once came to the Satmar Rav and they said to him, "Why are you always saying, you know, fire and brimstone about the Zionists and this and these Jews that are doing this wrong? Why don't you try to be malam mitzchus and kali so like some of the great Chassidish Rebbes did, you know, the Kedusha Slavi, right? Of Levi Yitzchak Mibreditchev." So he said to him, he responded sharply and he said, "Who told you what I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I'm davening to him by myself?" In other words, the mahalach is that, yeah, when you're talking to Klal Yisrael, so you have to be mechiach and to put them in line. But when you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be malam mitzvos. Anyway, so the Medrash goes on to say, "Shchar chayres," that I'm blackened, but I'm not black from my mother's womb. I became blackened, but I'm not black from my mother's womb. The sun burned me. It's like a person that got burned by the sun. Disgustingness, a looking ugly when someone is born like that from his mother's womb is not at all similar to when a person just happens to become uglied by something. When he gets burned by the sun, sit in his house for a certain amount of time and it'll go away. As soon as their averus will get purified by their kapara, by their einish, so then they go back to the way they were. So Rav Chizkiya Mishkovsky said such a beautiful word. He said that when he was talking to parents, he said, when you see your kids misbehaving, even if they're doing shrek l'chazachim, even if they're doing terrible things, he says, "Al tirunik shanish charcharis shezofasni hashomish." Don't see me when I'm blackened by the soot and when the sun has burned me. Meaning, understand that that's not really who I am. When I do these terrible things, that's not who I am. It's not an expression of what I am and who I am. Rav Yechiel Yaakovson said, though he b'shem the Mefarshim, it says, "Yetzer lev ha'adam ramin urov." Oh, but the Adam himself is toiv. It's just the Yetzer lev ha'adam ramin urov. Sometimes when children do things, right, it's not because that's who they are. They're evil, they're bad, right? No, they're good. Just what? Just the shtos hayaldutit, the narishkeit of youth causes them sometimes to, you know, to do things, even if they're shrek l'chazach and terrible things. So what do you have to do? You don't take it personally. Don't look at the avnius. Don't look at the amal. In other words, you could look at the avera and you could say, okay, something bad was done. My kid did something really bad. I have to deal with it. It's my job to help them, right? To be madrich them, and if I need to, I have to punish them, to set them straight, to make a tikkun for them. And it's from love, it's a chibo, it's a reus. The parent, when the parent views the child in this way, and he understands that it's not the pshat that this is who the child is. Fakir etkar, the child is guns good. He's totally goodness inside.
So then the parent will not look at the obvious. He won't look at it kilu personally, right? He won't take it personally, so to speak. He'll look at the child and say, yeah, an aver was done, something terrible was done, but he won't look at the avnius, he won't look at the amal, and he won't say, oh, look how bad he is. In other words, he will not look at the negativity of it and perceive the child as that being who he is. So I think that's what Rashi means. That Avada, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we do things wrong, he's our loving father. But it's mitoy chiba, it's mitoy chureus. It's just because, but he's always with us. Because Hashem perceives us for what we really are, was like the Medrash is saying, is that be'etzem we're good. Okay, sometimes, and even you see in the Medrash, that even it was in the Zman of Galus, the matzav was is that they were able to say to ourselves that it's only nechshav that we were over on ktsas min ha-mitzvahs. We violated some of the mitzvahs. We got our hands a little bit blackened. We got burned a little bit by the sun. Fine. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that soot on our hands and the sunburn that we got, that's not who we are. He's not misbinding in the avnius. He doesn't look at the negative filth and say, oh, you know, look how bad my children are being. That's why even when we're machis and umamrin the fun of, he looks at us as children, that it's their shtut yaldutit. It's just our stupid youth, so to speak. Like, you know, children sometimes act stupid. You know, kids will be kids. And Nachinami puts us into line. And Nachinami, sometimes we need to be punished. And how exactly it makes sense that everything goes, this is what we need. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us for what we really are, which is kol kulay toiv, kol kulay kosher to him. And therefore, he's not zaz mitachinu. He never moves away from us. And therefore, he always has the chiba and the reis for us, because what we really are is not the avera that, okay, some shtut yaldutin, so the seder, so he helps us out and he gives us a tikkun, and if he needs to, he punishes us and he's madrich us and he's mesakin us. But what we really are is we're really good. What we really are inside is that pintal yid that always wants to do ratzon Hashem. Rashi brings, do you mind if we go over time a little bit? I just chaval not to finish it. Rashi brings that Bilam realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to curse. So Bilam said, he brings from the onklis, it says Vayoshes al Midbar Ponov, that he gazed upon the chita egel that they did in the Midbar. And Rashi says that Bilam was thinking like this: I'll be maskir their averus, and then the klala will be chal on the averus. In other words, Bilam started off by trying to use his kayach in an oifen stama. But what was his whole kayach? His whole kayach is that there's a chelik ra. In other words, you take a person and there's the chelik ha-ra. So the klal kilu is magbir. It like enlarges and magnifies and focuses in on that chelik ha-ra, and thereby is ma'ir the midas ha-din on that person. So you realize, okay, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be mekal klal yisrael, because klal yisrael are his special children. He said, okay, but lemaisa, even they have averus. Even they must have a chelik ra shebohem. So what he didn't get, right, what he missed is that no, even the averus of Klal Yisrael is not bechinas achelik ra in them, right? It's not kilu in them. It's something which is bad and extraneous. It's just a little bit of sunburn, some soot on the hands, and therefore the klal could not be nitvas b'shum panim ba'ifin. So I want to tie in a ken zayin al pidis, a gevaldika chiddush in the Gemara in Brachos, that maybe that's the pshat Rabbi Shulman Levi saw, that even though this yid became mamish and apikaris gomor, he joined the, whatever, you know, he joined the apikarsim, right? But because it's lav erach ara to be makalil, because the way a klala works is that you find the chilek ra in that person and say, let the klala be magbir, enlarge, magnify, and focus in the minas adin on that chilek. But say that sometimes a yid could be so bad that the din could be about him, meridin vein malin. But because it's a klala, that not. It's lav irach ara. It's not ra'ui. Because a klala cannot be nitfos on a yid, because the way a klala works, the yisayid is that every single yid, no matter how horrible he may be, no matter how terrible what he's doing may be yisoidai, he's nechzav mitachas kisei hakavod. And therefore it wasn't shayach for Bilam to have even the slightest tfisa in terms of the ability to be makal klal yisrael. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about us, right, through Bilam. Bilam was the one who wanted to say the klala, who was the one that was mahapich the klala to bracha, to say that fakerdgar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never moves away from us, and the chib and the reis is always there, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tanga says, al tiruni shechayres ani, always sees us for the etzem good of who we really are. Okay.